Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
We're going to be speaking to Jan Vermeulen now, who is going to take us through trip restrictions in South Africa. Jan, thanks for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Just give us the backstory.
So the backstory here is South Africa has first threatened to downgrade Taiwan's de facto embassy in South Africa. Now, South Africa doesn't actually have official diplomatic relations with Taiwan, and that's not unusual. Most countries around the world don't, and that's got to do with the conflict between Taiwan and China. China is considered as the official representative of China in at the UN, and this puts them at odds with Taiwan, because Taiwan says essentially we're the real China, and China, the People's Republic of China, says no, we're the real China, and they're splinters of the same country. Taiwan was established by the people who lost the civil war in China during the communist revolution there, and so they fled and went to Taiwan. But so this thing dates back to a pretty huge political conflict, and that is still ongoing today. You can read about it every day, you know, the threat of China potentially invading Taiwan and what that might mean and how the US might react and so on. And so South Africa said, okay, we're going to downgrade your liaison office. It's officially called the Taipei Liaison Office in Pretoria. It's no longer going to be called that. It's going to be called the Commercial Office. And we're going to kick you out of Pretoria, which is where most of the embassies are. And we're going to relocate you to Johannesburg. And this caused a huge issue, not just with Taiwan, but with the United States as well. And then, it seemed as though the threat just died down. And then in June, Sunday, there's a notice in the Gazette, so backdated, to say, oh, we've done this. Backdated to 31 March, the Taipei Liaison Office in Pretoria is no longer recognized. The name has changed. And so Taiwan said they would consider all kinds of countermeasures, including chip restrictions on South Africa, effectively in retaliation. Mm-hmm. And now those chip restrictions have materialized.
Yeah, I just want to say that the Department of International Relations and Cooperation says that, you know, what you've outlined, they're not referring to you, but they're saying there's been a mischaracterization of the engagements that they've had with the Taipei Liaison Office. They say, you know, the relationship that they have with Taipei is a non-political and non-diplomatic one. It has been that way since 1997. And the reason that they want to move that trade office, as they call it, is to be in Johannesburg, South Africa's economic hub. I don't want to get into the politics of it, but I wanted to put that so that we're not, you know, just getting the one side.
Absolutely. Definitely put their side of the story in there, as much as I disagree with it. Absolutely.
Yeah. So Taiwan is now saying that there's going to be restrictions. If you can give us context about what they do when it comes to the chip market, the global chip market, what we actually use chips for, and why it's then important if they are thinking about these restrictions.
Right. So this is where the rubber hits the road, really. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, I think, don't realize how important Taiwan is and how important they are to chip manufacturing. So they control 70%. Well, it depends on which estimates you use, but between 50% and 70% market share of semiconductor manufacturing in the world. But when you look at the most advanced chips, it's 90%. So you might get, you know, chips elsewhere. You know, you might get them out of South Korea or the United States or even China, but they're not going to be nearly as advanced as the chips that come out of TSMC, which is based in Taiwan. Now, the consequences of sanctions like this, it's not really fully known what the impact is going to be, because it could be that Taiwan will simply restrict direct exports from Taiwan into South Africa. Now, that will hurt our automotive industry. because our automotive industry directly deals with Taiwan for the chips that go into cars that are manufactured in South Africa. But the ramifications could be far, could be more far-reaching than that, because if it turns out that what Taiwan is doing is going to its customers, and that might be Apple, Intel, NVIDIA, and AMD, mm-hmm. and saying, hey, listen, we've put sanctions on South Africa. You need to speak to your downstream manufacturers, your device partners, and tell them that nothing gets sent to South Africa without prior approval from us. And South Africa is such a small market that I don't think anybody would risk making Taiwan angry over this. So they might just comply. And so, you know, it, even though a lot of our computers and smartphones and so on are imported via Europe or potentially, you know, bought directly from China, the fact is that the actual chips that go into those computers, and that's whether it's an Apple computer, or whether it's a Lenovo or an HP or a Dell, whatever the case might be, the chips that go into there, whether it's an Intel, AMD, or NVIDIA, or an Apple Silicon chip, it most often gets made in Taiwan. Yeah. And so South Africa might be staring down the barrel of a very scary gun here, where we might be cut off from the most advanced computer hardware in the world unless we smooth things over with Taiwan.
Mm-hmm. And so we know that often there are threats, and I'm not using that in a violent way, but someone will say, look, you know, we're going to do this thing if you don't do X and Y.
Yeah.
And that's also a way of negotiating or saying to people, yes, you're not, or countries in this instance, you're not taking us seriously, and this is the manner in which we're going to show you. Do we know on what scale these restrictions are?
Yeah, yeah. So this is stage two, okay. with an indeterminate number of stages, right? But it's a lot like Trump's tariffs. In that, you know, it's certainly a negotiation tactic at this point. But just like Trump's tariffs, this is something that Taiwan has shown that they will follow through on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you don't give the other party, like, a threat is only as good as whether you will follow through on it.
Right.
And here Taiwan has said, okay, stage one was, we're going to warn you. We're going to say, mm-hmm. we're going to do this unless you come to the negotiating table with a suitable offer. And South Africa obviously did not meet Taiwan's expectations. Mm-hmm. And so now we're at stage two. And stage two is, you're going on the list. And stage three will be the actual implementation of the restrictions. So South Africa has a window here now in which to try and smooth things over with Taiwan, so that this ban doesn't, the effects of the ban don't filter into the economy yet. They don't filter into the supply chain yet.
Mm-hmm.
But that window is small. Then stage three is going to be, you know, the restrictions come into effect, and our local high-tech supply chain gets impacted by it.
I seem to recall that chips are now gaining prominence when it comes to diplomatic negotiations. There were security concerns with the United States and China chips, and restrictions in both countries, on both countries. And what we saw is China, if I'm remembering correctly, then making versions of chips. I'm wondering, in this instance, if Taiwan says, you know what, we're going to restrict your access to chips, one of a few things could happen. South Africa could say, actually, no, we're going to start manufacturing chips large scale. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. Or South Africa could say, all right, we know that, you know, we have a partner in China, they're part of BRICS, there's a cooperation and a relation and diplomatic relations and so much more between those two countries. We're going to get our chips from there. And if it's the level of, you know, security of chips or the standard of chips, China can produce those.
So unfortunately not. So, mm-hmm. so South Africa does have chip fabrication capability, but it's not nearly as advanced mm-hmm. as Taiwan has. Mm-hmm. And without getting into the weeds of the technical detail, neither does China. Okay. So when China said, yeah, we'll fine, then we'll make our own, that still comes at a cost. And that cost is sophistication. No one in the world has the skills, expertise, or experience that Taiwan has here. Mm-hmm. And now the other problem is that there's a huge push globally in artificial intelligence. Plus, South Africa has this big song and dance about the fourth industrial revolution. But there's actually pretty aggressive investing happening in South Africa in artificial intelligence data centers, mm-hmm. In data centers. And this could derail all of that, mm-hmm. which would be just a massive blow to our economy and to our relative dominance in sub-Saharan Africa, perhaps even Africa in general, when it comes to our data center capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually really advanced in that regard, and we're faring really well globally in terms of how we've kept pace with the likes of Germany in terms of our deployment of AI hardware in the country. Mm-hmm. So we definitely don't want to see a setback, because a small setback will set you back years.
Okay. I've seen Visa opening a data center in South Africa last month, I think it was. And speaking about, you know, how incredible South Africa is and the opportunities and how they want to grow here. I also know that when it comes to issues like this, it's not just about two countries. We've spoken about yeah. China. You mentioned the United States earlier on and their role. From your point of view, what is the role of the United States, and what could the impact of these tensions mean for broader South Africa global relations?
Yeah, so definitely it's not just South Africa and Taiwan here. Taiwan alleges that the whole reason this has happened in the first place is because South Africa is either being forced, you know, there's either pressure from China, I say forced, but there's pressure from China to more closely ally itself from China, or maybe South Africa and the ANC government just out of their own wanted to signal closer ties to China for whatever reason. And so China is intricately involved in this somehow, it would seem, just mm-hmm. based on the facts at hand. Regarding the impact on the United States, yeah, so we're already in a tense situation with the United States over several other things, mainly triggered by the Israel the ICJ case, the International Court of Justice genocide case against Israel, and that's cascaded into a much broader thing now with the United States, where they're trying to air a whole bunch of dirty laundry and trying to make the South African government look like hypocrites and all kinds of stuff to try and get South Africa to make a deal. But Taiwan, just like Iran, so Iran is another major thing that's kind of put tension between United States-South Africa relations. Taiwan is another such country. Taiwan, even though the United States also doesn't recognize it as the official representative of China, mm-hmm. they enjoy extremely close relations and trade relations as well. With Taiwan being such a massive component yeah. in the global semiconductor industry, obviously it makes sense. But it's more than that. The Five Eyes nations in general kind of have, like, it seems, an agreement between them to help essentially protect Taiwan from mm-hmm. China should there be aggression from China. So there's all kinds of geopolitical stuff at play here, and South Africa crossing blades with Taiwan means, once again, we've harmed our relationship with the United States for what appears to be no good reason.
Yeah, I think when it comes to that relationship with the United States, you mentioned the ICJ case. We also know that when Elon Musk and Trump were still besties, before the fallout, the issue of land expropriation, Section 25 right. of the Constitution, was used as a way of also the challenges between the United States and South Africa, you know, threats about AGOA and so much more. But it also feels as though when you're deciding as a country, and I don't understand, you know, the politics deeply, when you're deciding as a country how you're going to negotiate and what factors are going to either help or harm you, you also look at who you're negotiating with. And when it comes to South Africa and U.S. relations, I can see that our government is trying to reason. But at the end of the day, if you are dealing with a president who, like in the United States, seems to have a very interesting way of reasoning, and even when facts are sent, perhaps doesn't worry about that. You know, decides.
Well,
you know.
Yeah. So without getting into debates that aren't to do with the take at hand, the stuff around expropriation is complicated. But it's worth pointing out that there is right now a case in court about a zero expropriation without compensation case involving a 30 million rand property that is also going to cause huge problems for South Africa just by the fact that this case even exists. Never mind the decision that might come, but just the fact that the Ekurhuleni government tried to take a piece of property from someone is going to cause problems
for
South Africa.
We're not getting into a debate about that. I'm saying when our president went over to speak to their president, the issue of farm murders, which are there, came up.
Right.
But the defeating the fake news, when, you know, he said, this picture is not from South Africa. When oven logic doesn't dictate how a decision is made, and it feels like if we take it away from the South African context, how the President of the United States and his government make decisions is not always informed by rationality. So my question that I'm asking about is in relation to Taiwan and the United States and how South Africa should think about how to engage with that. Because even if you say, okay, you know what, Shak, sorry, we're actually going to take these actions in regards to one, it may not help with those U.S. relations.
Yeah. And the thing is, what's incredibly difficult for the government right now. So firstly, you've got two major parties in government with very different views on foreign policy. So the ANC has a certain ideology, and the DA thinks that ideology is flawed, right? So they're like, we actually have parallel chains leading into the United States now, you know, essentially one party saying the others don't represent us, please listen to reason. So that's the one aspect to it. So what needs to happen, honestly, is the ANC needs to be willing to let go of some of its ideology, and especially the failed ideology.
That's a debate. That's definitely a debate for another day. And Govan Whittles is sitting here staring me down because he has to do a throw forward. So Jan van Meulen, thank you so much for your insight into that. And I like that the conversation meandered. It's always very interesting because business is not just about the numbers. It's also about the context that we're operating in. Jan van Meulen, the editor at My Broadband, just speaking to us about chip restrictions and then those geopolitical factors that affect how decisions are made and may affect us down the line. Really appreciate your time tonight.
My pleasure. Have a good evening.
All right. You are listening to Kaya Biz. In just a few moments, Govan Whittles is going to be taking...
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.